Many of the cancer drugs that help to save lives today were first tested in plastic dishes, and then in mice, and finally in humans. But one Seattle cancer researcher wants to start human clinical trials earlier. Dr. Jim Olson says there are two primary reasons why we should test in humans as early as possible.
The most important reason is because we haven't found a good substitute for human cancers growing in human bodies to help inform us of which drug is best to bring into a human clinical trial or to treat an individual patient. I think of equal importance is the fact that it's an honor that must be taken with great respect to do any experiments using animals. I have very highest regard and hold animal research as something that requires us to think carefully about the number of animals we use and using them in the most effective way possible so that we're respecting those lives.
For decades, if not longer than that, we have done testing of drugs on animals, and we've spent millions of dollars at least. Do you think that, are you saying that that's been misdirected money?
Oh, hardly. The reason I say that is because we've improved survival for kids with cancer. Leukemia is now at 90%. When I was a boy, it was 5%. Many other pediatric cancers are at 80%. When I was a boy, they were 3 or 4%. With other adult cancers, we're getting up into the 50, 60% range of survivors. And that comes on the shoulders of brilliant people who did work primarily with animals to get us to the point where we are right now. The problem is that whether it's animals or cells in a petri dish, what they really can't represent is the human patient's immune system, the amount of oxygen, the tension between the cancer cells in their own body, all those things that we collectively call the microenvironment.
I'm talking with Jim Olson. He is a cancer researcher at Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center in Seattle. So instead of testing some of these potential drugs on a rat or a monkey or even in a petri dish, what alternative have you come up with?
Well, our team recognized years ago that we needed to have a way to directly compare different drug candidates within a human patient's tumors. And so technology that we developed at Fred Hutch and that's now being advanced by Presage Biosciences allows us to introduce an array of needles. Imagine 8 or 9 different needles that are the kind that you would get a flu shot with or an insulin shot. These get inserted into the human patient's tumor all at the same time, and as the device is retracted, it leaves behind columns of different drugs or drug combinations, and then we can follow that either by MRI, non-invasively, or following surgical removal. We can learn which drug combinations work better than others and which are entirely ineffective.
Isn't this risky?
No, it actually is so non-risky that the Institutional Review Board at Fred Hutch granted us an exemption as a non-significant risk device, because what's being put into the patient is basically several insulin-type needles. There's really no risk in that. The amount of drug that we're putting through each needle is about a fifth of a raindrop. And so even if 100% of that was put into the bloodstream, it's at doses that couldn't even be detected. So the nice thing about this is we're putting in minute amounts of drugs that really couldn't harm the patient, but it's concentrated right at a few cancer cells, and we can see exactly how those cancer cells respond to it.
You kind of had me at a fifth of a raindrop, so I'm back there. That is a very tiny amount, and that is enough to let you see how a cancer cell will respond?
Yeah, the nice thing is, because of the power of the Presage platform for analysis, we can actually look at millions of cancer cells along the track of the needle and see which ones the pathway was turned off, and if the pathway was turned off, did the cancer cells respond by dying, or did they just laugh at the drug?
You're doing this here at the Hutch and with Presage. Who else around the country is working on new ways to test drugs?
We're the only group that is working on this particular approach where you can compare multiple drugs within a single patient's tumor. Another group at Harvard is working on making artificial organs on a chip so that they have lung on a chip, liver on a chip, kidney on a chip, and they're trying to grow these tiny microorgans from humans so that you could flood drug past them and look for toxicity.
How big are lung and liver on a chip?
Oh, they're they're quite tiny, maybe the size of a pencil lead.
So we're back at the fifth of a raindrop pencil lead.
Yeah, yeah.
We're talking about really small amounts. You know, this sounds like a great new brave new world, but somebody might be listening, going, "Well, that's Jim Olson." What do I say when a doctor says, "Hey, this drug primary test is on you, human being, and not in a petri dish and not in a rat?" I mean, it seems like a little scary.
Yeah, so it wouldn't be without making sure that we know general safety concerns about the drug. But we do see the day that we will be able to test drugs that are very early stage, far before they would normally be introduced into a patient, where really the best data for a patient's disease will come from the patient.
You work specifically with cancer, but what does this say about the future of drug testing in general, or does it?
Well, I think it really points to the fact that in a lot of ways, scientists and those in drug discovery have kind of fooled ourselves over the past decades because the best tools available to us were not good enough and we had to make up a story to go around it. So, for example, we test a drug in a mouse that has never had previous chemotherapy and we see that those mice live a couple weeks longer than the other mice, and then we take and give that drug to a human patient in a clinical trial. And that patient's been exposed to chemotherapy and radiation, and their cells are already resistant to so many drugs, maybe 90% of drugs. And we somehow magically think that that's going to transform into a life-extending experience. And we have to stop telling ourselves those stories and say, we need better tools. Let's design those better tools.
And I imagine that in addition to designing the better tools, at some point, the gatekeepers of all this research, which is the Food and Drug Administration, as far as I know, it's still mm-hmm. the FDA, mm-hmm. will have to reconsider the blanket policies it has, won't it, in terms of how and where we test these things?
That's right. Right now, even if I or somebody else wanted to go to the FDA with a data package that lacked animal data, we wouldn't get very far at all. And so everything in science and medicine happens one step at a time, and the first step is to generate high-quality data that shows that when we do a local injection of drug, that it mirrors what we see when we give systemic administration. So far, we've seen that in mice that are carrying human tumors. We're seeing that in dogs that are brought to us who have cancer and their families are looking to make a choice about the right drug. So we're already starting to do in dogs what we hope to someday do in patients. And when we go to the FDA with a data package that shows that patients have had no toxicity and that we're getting good information, then I'm hoping we're starting to turn the wheels of change.
Dr. Jim Olson, a cancer researcher at the Fred Hutchinson, he spoke with KUOW's Marcy Silman.